Grace to you and peace from him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to God, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We turn to our final reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is God's word. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed. In the coming weeks, our Sunday school lessons will describe the journey of Israel, a journey from slavery in Egypt to the conquest of Canaan, the promised land. It begins with the Lord parting the Red Sea to rescue the Israelites from the pursuing Egyptian chariots, hemmed in on every side, either to face drowning in the Red Sea or being slaughtered at the hands of the Egyptians. Moses speaks. We turn to Exodus chapter 14. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." This Christian Education Sunday, we, like Israel, are reminded to not be afraid. We stand still and see the salvation of our Lord. Though evil forces may surround us on every side, hem us in, and seem too much to bear, the Lord tells us it is him who fights. It is the Lord who grants peace when we're surrounded. Christian education is not just for the Sunday school children. It's for every Christian, from home to church, from pastor to parent, from Bible class to coming to worship service to devotions in the home. The Lord is equipping us for battle, standing armed and ready. Armed for battle and standing in victory. Some of the greatest battles the Israelites will face after leaving the Egyptians behind was not the nations that would stand before them, nor the lack of bread that would make them complain, nor the lack of water that would make them wish they were back in Egypt, where although they were slaves, at least they were fed and given water to drink. Was God their enemy? Having that he brought them out into the desert to die? God had no trouble responding to these earthly needs of the Israelites. He had no trouble conquering entire nations before them. The real danger was not seen with the eye. We read in our text, verse 12, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." What is that battle that we fight? In Sun Tzu's Art of War, he writes, "It is said that if you know your enemies and know yourself, you will not be imperiled in 100 battles. If you do not know your enemies but do know yourself, you will win one and lose one. If you do not know your enemies nor yourself, you will be imperiled in every single battle. So often when battling false teaching, for instance, we fall into the error of thinking we battle a person or a church body. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." The battle is not against flesh and blood. If it was, we would respond no different than radical Muslims who think it is their quest to conquer human beings, to eradicate all those who oppose their faith, to battle flesh and blood. The devil and the spiritual armies of wickedness dwell in the heavenly places, our text writes, a place not seen with the eye. Jesus had to say to Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my servants would fight, but my kingdom is not from here." And so God equips us with the weapons of his kingdom, not of this world. Verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." In 1500 BC, the Egyptians were perhaps the most dominant power in all the world. Yet Moses, with the drop of his arms, sends the walls of the Red Sea crashing upon them and destroying their whole army. Was this Moses' doing? Be strong in the power of his might. Our sinful nature is going to see the Egyptians pursue and want to flee or surrender. The wiles of the devil press on every side. Yet the worst thing we could do is the thing we do most often. We rely on ourselves, on some other support other than what God has given us in his word. And that's why these battles are lost, if we wouldn't have the armor of God. As we examine this armor in our text, we find none of it centers in what I have to offer or what I can do. Paul was likely imprisoned in Rome when he wrote this, and he would see the Roman centurion pass by from day to day. He would see how fully equipped he was, and the words in our text describe that fully equipped battle armor, the Roman centurion, a picture of our Christian education. The belt picturing readiness, an ever-ready posture with the truth to battle whatever might come. The breastplate of righteousness to protect the most vital organs. If it was up to our righteousness, those most vital organs, our soul, wouldn't stand a chance against this battle. But rather, we put on the righteousness of Christ. That righteousness which shields us, which guards us against every piercing blow. And we take up the shield of faith. Satan will lobby his flaming arrows, but crouching behind a baptismal faith that rests in the promises of God's word and what Christ has done, they can't touch us. Together with the helmet of salvation, we have everything we need to defend ourselves. And yet there still remains one weapon. Only one weapon which is meant for more than just defense, but also offense. The sword. The Spirit coming to you through the Word and coming to the world. As it's written in Hebrews, the Word is living and powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword. When Jesus was in the wilderness, what did he use to battle Satan's temptations? Not his almighty power as God, but the Word, quoting Scripture. Christian education equips us. If we didn't teach our children of these truths, they wouldn't know of the mighty deliverance from Egypt, of the parting of the Red Sea, of the plagues God sent upon Israel, of the mighty deliverance that promised and kept his promise to send a Savior. So above all, they wouldn't know of what Christ has done, of that truth of how he equips us and saves us through the cross. Resting in the Word of God and the armor of his protection in Christ, we are armed for battle. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high the royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. As the children of Israel stood then on the banks of the Jordan River looking to Canaan, the place where God promised to establish them as his people, his nation, what did they see? From victory unto victory, the Lord promised to be with them. And so he said in Deuteronomy chapter 20, when you go out to battle against your enemies and you see horses, chariots, and your enemies before you, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you. As we look onward, as we see the next battle that we're going to face, do we need to doubt what the outcome will be? Having put on this whole armor of God, we do indeed stand in victory already. Verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We face the evil day, any day, every day, and above all, that one most evil day, when perhaps you're facing your greatest weakness, questioning your own faith, and the devil is ready. It is an endless pursuit he wages for your soul, to find your vulnerable areas. As Luther writes, if you could see how many knives, darts, and arrows are at every moment aimed at you, you would be glad to come to the sacrament as often as possible. If you know your enemies and know yourself, you will not be imperiled in 100 battles. Well, the devil knows you. He knows where you're vulnerable. He knows your weaknesses. The evil day, perhaps, might not seem as evil as we might think. You stand against, verse 11, the schemes of the devil. It's often when things are going great that we are most vulnerable. Know yourself and know your weaknesses. Know why this victory does not rest in your hands. Know that we fall, that we sin, that we are not able to overcome this battle on our own. And above all, put on Christ. That's what it means to be having done all, having done everything, is to have Christ. For he's done it all. He cried out from the cross, it is finished. To grow in this Christian education, knowing what Christ has done, is to stand behind him with his breastplate of righteousness. And so the Lord says to you also, when you go out to battle against your enemies and people more numerous than you, know that the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. In the pre-service devotion on page 2 of our service folder, we read Psalm 91. And as you read through Psalm 91, you might wonder, how is it that the psalmist can write, no evil shall befall you, as it says in verse 10, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling? How can you say to someone dying of cancer, or who has just lost a teenager in a car accident, no evil will come upon you? No plague will come near your dwelling. Well, notice what verse 9 says. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. That you've gone to that dwelling place where no evil can touch you. As it says in verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is our refuge in every battle. Meaning, this secret place of God is a place we go to in his word, by faith, to be protected by him, so that whatever might happen outwardly to our body, to our loved ones, God is guarding and protecting what is most precious as we go to his dwelling place, gathering around word and sacrament, into the presence of God, where he gives us his body and blood, where he gives us his word, the good news of salvation, takes away all our sins, and builds us up in a faith that will not be defeated. Luther put it into song, take they our life, good fame, child and wife, let these all be gone, they have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. What a fitting way to conclude our series of Ephesians. From a church chosen in Christ to a church equipped for battle. We are the church militant, not yet passed on to glory. And we do battle. An epic scene, light versus darkness. But the outcome is not left to question. It has been scripted in the blood of our crucified Savior. It is finished. The Egyptians on one side, the Red Sea on the other, you already stand in victory by what God has promised, and He will not go back on His promises. As Moses said, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord fights for you. You are armed, standing, and you have the victory." Amen. We rise.